One year closer to death. Just 1 year passed by. That means 1 year we are closer to our death. Huh? Mm. Time passes by. Huh? If we don't put some effort in, you know, in our practice, yeah, I mean, we waste our time. I don't know what's happening. I don't know how long. Yeah, I mean, when does this pandemic, you know, stop? Anytime soon? Huh? When does this fear mongering about COVID stop? I have no idea. What do they want to achieve with it? Do they really want to make the Great Reset? Yeah? Make a big, you know, make the whole world a communist country where nobody owns anything except for a few people who own everything? Doesn't work. Huh? It won't work. But that's probably, I don't know, yeah? But that is probably their intention. Making everybody afraid, and when we are afraid, yeah, we do whatever other people tell us. But we as Buddhists shouldn't be afraid. Yeah? I understand if people in the West are afraid because they don't have anything, you know, to hold on to. But we have something to hold on to. We have the Buddha Sasana, we have the Buddhist religion to hold on to. Because the Buddha, you know, I mean, the Buddha knew everything. He knew the past lives. He knew the next lives. Yeah? He knew the future. He knew the past. Yeah? I mean, he knew about, you know, why we are born and why we are die, how long we are, you know, how long we live, you know, and what kind of fortune or misfortune will happen to us. He tells us everything. Yeah? So whatever, you know, whatever happens to us, is determined by our karma. Yeah? We are born of our karma. I mean, the Buddhist chant, we are born of our karma. Huh? I mean, while we live, yeah, we what is it? We take part in our karma. Yeah, or now I know only the Thai words. What? We are dependent on our karma. I mean, we live of our karma and we die because of our karma. If this is clear, then where can the fear of death creep in? There cannot be fear of death creep in. Yeah? We know, I mean, we have only a certain amount of time to live, yeah? Depending on our karma that is given to us through our own means, yeah? Not through anybody else. Not anybody else decides when we are going to die. We decided in the last life, you know, how long we are going to live in this life, yeah? And we decided in the last life, you know, what kind of fortune or misfortune we have, yeah? But we don't want this, yeah? We don't want to accept it, unless it is good fortune. This we can accept. If it is misfortune, we cannot accept. There must be somebody who is guilty of this misfortune. Yeah? I mean, the Christian had it very easy because they knew it was God, you know, who put all the misfortune on them. Yeah? Testing them out. Yeah? But for us, you know, as Buddhists, that is why it is so difficult, you know, to understand, you know, the Buddhist religion, because we are responsible for whatever happens to us. Huh? And do we know how many people want to take on responsibility of their life? Yeah? They want to blame this, yeah? They want to blame that, yeah? They want to blame the government, they want to blame their wife, they want to blame their husband or their kids or anybody, you know? Or this group or that group, yeah? Now the vaccinated blame the unvaccinated for the pandemic to go on, yeah? I mean, there is no end to the blame game, yeah? But we as Buddhists, we know, yeah? So, I mean, we should not be afraid of death. We should look forward, you know? We should look forward for the time until we die and make the most of it. That is our aim. That is our goal. Yeah, especially when we are here in a monastery, to make the best of our life. Yeah? And that is the best thing that we can do. We can practice, and practice, and especially, you know, cut ourselves loose of the world, you know, who is really, at the moment, it's really in shambles. I mean, if you're in a talk, you turn off the phone, Go out. We don't want to be disturbed. I mean, this is our fortune, you know. I mean, have to be to come into contact with the Buddhist religion that teaches us about this. There's no other religion. There's no other religion in the world that teaches us this. All other religions have a God, you know, that we can blame for or that we can look forward to. But this religion doesn't have any God. I mean, yes, it has a lot of gods in all these different kinds of heavens, but they have nothing to do with us. They're just beings, you know, in their realm. They enjoy their fruits of their good karma that they have previously done in their human life. But then sooner or later, you know, they will come back as a human being. And then they have to go through the same things that we have to. Well, some of them, you know, after the heaven, you know, they go directly to hell. And then get rid of their bad karma that they have done, you know, in their lives. I mean, it is there's a never-ending circle of birth and death. And it is up to us, you know, to find the way out. And the Lord Buddha was the only teacher, you know, who taught us the way out. And the way out, you know, is seen samadhipanya. So it is keeping the five precepts, or when we are here, the eight precepts are for us as monks, you know, the 227 precepts. Meti is also the eight precepts. That's it. We just keep them. We don't fiddle around with them. I think, oh, maybe I can do it like this, maybe I can do it. No. We just keep them. And then we don't have to worry about it. So one of the three columns of the Eightfold Path, you know, is out of our way. And then we need to rest in samadhi. And then we need to train samadhi. And that is, for most of us as Westerners, very difficult. Is very difficult because the mind likes to think. It constantly thinks. It thinks about the future, it thinks about the past, it remembers the past, you know, and makes plans for the future, and so on. And this we have to stop. We have to be in the present moment. In the present moment, that is, when there is no thought and when there is no memories. Just the present moment. Just be aware of what is going on. Can we do that? No. Because instantly the thoughts are dragging us out. Oh, this was so nice, you know. I mean, if we get a nice moment, you know, in our practice, then we instantly think, oh, this is so nice, I want to stay there forever. And this moment we are out already, Oh, you know, how can I get it again? And all these thoughts, they constantly drag us out, And we believe them. We believe them. Because they are us. It's me. It's my thought. It's my feeling. It's my body. It's my memories. And it's my consciousness. No, it's not. Who knows that there is a feeling coming up? Who knows that there is a thought coming up? Who knows that there is a memory coming up? Who knows consciousness arises and sees it? There's something else. There's the driver of the car and the car. When the driver gets out, he looks at the car and looks at all the parts of the car. He looks at the vinyan, the consciousness of the car. But we only look after our car. All our life we look after our car. And then one of the parts of our car dies, and that is the body, And then we look for another body, And then we look for another body, And that depending on our karma, we get this kind of body, a human body, or we can go to the heavenly realm and get a heavenly body, or we go to the lower realms, you know, get an animal body or a ghost body, you know, or hell. Yeah? And there's no end unless we make a choice, you know. So samadhi is the important thing, yeah? To get to the present moment, to know what is going on in our heart, to know that there's the intention to think, to know that there's the intention to memorize, yeah? Why can we not make this so interesting that we forget about everything else? Yeah? This we have to make so interesting, yeah? Just this moment, you know, when is the thought? When is the intention of a thought coming up? Yeah? Yeah? But now, I mean, we get our sati, we get our awareness. When there are already 15 wagons of thoughts are coming along. Yeah. Oh, I have thought. Yeah. Then cut it down. Yeah? To 10 thoughts, then cut it down to 5 thoughts, then cut it down to 2 thoughts, then cut it down to 1 thought, then cut it down to half a thought, then cut it down to the beginning of the thought, and then catch the intention of the thought. That's interesting. We have to make these things, we have to make it interesting, because 100% interested is 100% concentration. And when we are concentrated, 100% concentration, everything else disappears. Some people know it if they have some sort of hobby, you know. I mean, if they're only interested in their hobby, what they are doing, it is not the same as samadhi, but it is, you know, the thing is similar. They forget everything else, yeah? They don't even know if some people are coming in, the wife puts some coffee on their table, they don't even notice it because they are so interested in what they are doing, yeah? So we should be so interested in what we are doing, be it the Buddha or be it the breath, yeah? Not letting go of anything, yeah? Not following this thought or that thought. And then we can completely get absorbed, yeah? And we can enter samadhi. When we can enter samadhi, we see that there is no problems in this world. That the problems only arise with our thinking and with our memory. Yeah? Because in samadhi there are no problems. How can there be problems if there is no thought? Yeah? But we don't want to let go of these thoughts, because these thoughts, yeah, just like Descartes said, you know, cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. That means when I don't think, I am not there anymore. And that is the beauty of the whole thing. We are not there anymore. There's just the pure space of experience. Yeah? The experience doesn't go away. Feeling doesn't go away. Hearing doesn't go away. But there's nobody who takes hold of these things, yeah? And that is the point when we reach samadhi. Yeah? Nobody, you know, there's just things happening, yeah? And only in the present moment, yeah? One moment is gone, the next moment comes. Until we go even further, you know, until we stick with our Buddha or we stick with our breath, yeah? Until the whole world, you know, first of all, our body disappears, slowly disappears, the legs disappear, the arms disappear, the head disappears, and only, you know, only around our citta, you know, only around our heart, you know, stays there. And then we enter apana samadhi, you know, and then the whole world disappears. Not only this world, yeah, the whole universe disappears. Yeah. There's nothing left. Yeah. And then we see, yeah, that's what we think, there's nothing left. Yes, there is something left. And that is the thing that we strive for. That is what you call the preview of Nibbana. If you can see that preview of Nibbana, I mean, what holds us back, you know, to end it? But when we come out of samadhi, everything is the same. Nothing has changed. So we want to go back. Yeah? That's fine. Now let's go back, you know, until we get really satiated with samadhi. Yeah? And then we start to do investigation. And what do we investigate? Yeah? That is the third column, developing wisdom. Yeah? Developing wisdom by investigating the 5 khandhas. The 5 khandhas. Yeah? What is the first khanda? Yeah? That is the most dominant khanda. It's the body. Vedana is the second. Yeah? Feeling. Yeah? Be it bodily feeling or mental feeling. Yeah? Then thoughts. Yeah? Short kind of thoughts. Yeah? And then memory. Yeah? And then consciousness. But in the beginning, we are only concerned about two things. Huh? Bodily feelings, there are mental feelings, and especially this body. Yeah? So we want to separate ourselves from this body, to see it. Yeah? So we close our eyes, and cut off all the parts of the body until nothing sits there and all the parts are out in front of us. Yeah? You see? Oh, there's the foot, there's the head, and we can even, take the brain out of the head and look at it, and then put it there, put it nicely, and put the upper torso, the lower torso, or, open it up, take off the skin, and open it up and see all this matter. And when we have all these parts outside, where is the body? The only body part. There's no body. Yeah? And who sits there and knows that there are body parts? Well, that's a citta. Yeah? And that's where we want to go. We want to separate the citta, because the citta is not within the five khandhas. We want to separate it out from the body part. Yeah? But the moment we take one of the body parts and put it back here, suddenly our eye arises again. Oh, it's me, it's mine. Yeah? And then take it out again, and then there is no eye sitting there. There's just body part there. And then we grab hold of one of the body parts, or assemble the body, you can assemble it anyway. Yeah? Try it, have fun with it, assemble the body, that you put your head between the legs, and the legs, on your shoulders and so on. And look at it, What do we call body, we need to get interested, so we need to make these things really interesting, So do it all sorts of ways, Or just, strip everything off, and just leave the, leave the skeleton there. And then just walk through, with a skeleton, Or in the morning, when you see all these people, just see them as skeletons, It's very interesting, Where is then the woman, where is the male, There's no woman, there's no man. They're just skeletons walking around. And it looks very funny, sometimes you have to laugh out loud when you really see it. Where's the difference? So, separate out the citta from the body until it really sticks, until you really know it. And this is something that we really need to know. This is something we need to understand. Unless we have this experience, and this experience must be really clear, until we have this experience, we constantly assume we are the body. And then the body, some misfortune happens to the body. For instance, you cannot move your left side of the body or right side of the body, and then we are in complete misery. But if you're not attached to the body, the citta is free of this body. Then we are not in misery. We don't have to be in misery. We can use the tongue. We still. The citta is not the body. And we have to train the citta. But before we probably can go into the body investigation deeply, we have to do some investigation of dukkha vedanas, of painful feelings. Not only sit for 45 minutes or for 1 hour, start to sit for 2 hours or 3 hours or 4 hours until really the pain comes. The first thing that becomes with pain, this is a predominant a prerequisite for investigation, any kind of feelings. So start with dukkha vedana, that comes very easily. Start with dukkha vedana, investigate dukkha vedana, investigate painful feelings. The first thing that we have to do, we have to accept it. Breathe it in, accept it. The moment we want to get rid of the pain through investigation, we fail. We always fail. We want to be interested, what is pain, where is the pain? Is it constant? Is it moving? Is it an area? Is it in the skin? Is it in the bones? Is it in the tendons? Is it in the muscles? Where is the pain? And the interesting thing is, if we really get down to it, if we really get interested, It helps us overcome some of this tiredness that constantly, you know, bothers us. Yeah? Huh? When the pain comes up, oh, you are not tired anymore, you want to, yeah? So investigate it. Huh? And when you really get down, you know, it is not in the skin. You notice it is not in the skin, it is not in the bones. Because since you're born, you have these bones, you have these muscles, you have these tendons, you have this flesh, and you have this, So where actually is the pain? When you come very close, then the pain disappears. And it appears in another place. It is so strange. You couldn't really stand. It was so excruciating pain. And from one moment to the next, it's gone. And then you know it's magic. But then it appears in another place. So then we go to this place, and do the same thing, investigate it in the same way. And then we follow the pain until it shows us where it's actually coming from. And then we understand a little bit about pain. And that is the important thing is to first to accept pain and not to want to get rid of it. The moment we start, we want to get rid of pain by investigating it. Some people are clever. We investigate it and then the pain is gone. No, it won't go. No. We really want to understand, we really want to feel every aspect of this pain. How does it feel? Let's go and look in the whole body. Breathe it in the pain, and go just into this feeling. And that is the same thing we have to do with any kind of feeling. Be it anger, or be it lust, or be it wanting or not wanting, any kind of feeling. We can investigate in the same way. But the easiest way is to start with dukkha vedana, painful feelings, because it's constant, The other feelings are very fleeting nature. You just concentrate and then they are gone, So that is not the way. We start with this painful feeling when we sit long in samadhi, Then we start, Breathe it in, really feel it, go through the whole body, take the whole body in your concentration and feel the pain very, very, And then go to the spot, go to the area where the pain is, and then start the investigation. If you don't accept the pain, you will never come to the truth of the pain. Even if you know where the pain arises, it is not helpful, because the pain is still there. You have to see it, we have to see, we have to teach the heart to see it, where it actually arises, the pain. Because the body does not know any pain. The body doesn't even know what is pain. The body just reacts depending on it, on its circumstances, But we feel it as being painful. Or we feel it as being lustful, or we feel it as being good, or we feeling as being good, bad. And that's where we have to get to. So the investigation of the body, and then separate out, and do it, you might have to do it 100 times. 1,000 times, 10,000 times, until it really clicks, And so when we say until the caution is gefallen, until the coin drops, I don't know what the English expression is. Same? Similar? Yeah. Okay, good. Until the coin drops, and then we know, In this knowing, nobody can take away from us, And then we don't worry about this body, but we take care of this body. Because, it's just like the owner of a car takes care of his body, of his car, but he's not overly concerned, And that is the same thing happens to us, If we know that the body and the citta are two different things, we take care of the body, but we are not overly concerned. And especially we are not so afraid of death anymore. Because we know, what dies is the body, It's not me who dies. Okay. Du machst so eine Leidensmiene. Merkst du das? Ja? Verstehst du ein bisschen was?
Ja.
Ja? Es ist so wenig Deutsche, da kann man nicht so viel Deutsch sprechen. Ja, eins, was, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, okay, now, do you have any, it's enough for today. Do you have any questions? No questions? Yeah?
It seems like that living under strict rules, it's easy to fall into finding fault in others, even making another person's blamelessly behavior look biased and unjust. And it conversely, it's not easy to cultivate like a kind of Brahma Viha.
It is not easy, because we are trained in this way.
And, is there any good way to develop and enhance such elements?
Yes, there is a good way. The first good way is not to look what other people are doing. That is the best way, yeah? I mean, even the Lord Buddha said, you know, if you live in a monastery, behave like you're living alone. So don't be interested in what other people are doing, just be interested in what you are doing. But he also said, yeah, because there's sub-constraints, you know, when you live in a community, when you live alone, behave like you live in a monastery. Yeah? So to have these constraints that are in the monastery, but living alone is not to pay attention to what other people do. Unless you want to understand, you want to know, as a young bhikkhu, you want to know how things are done. Yeah? Then you look at the senior bhikkhus, how they do it, yeah? And then you follow, yeah? You follow them up, you know, you do it as the other bhikkhus teach you. Yeah? But it has a lot to do with our conceit, with our wrong views and wrong thinking, yeah? So, what we can do is when we see, when we start to blame somebody else, start to blame yourself, yeah? Find out what kind of thought, yeah? What kind of thought, you know, came before that blame? Yeah? Because that has nothing to do with what the other person has done. It is dissatisfaction with yourself. You are unhappy about your own actions. You are unhappy about the state of the mind. Yeah? And now, because we are unhappy, because we are taught, you know, the unhappiness comes from outside, then we look for something outside. Yeah? And you have noticed, if you see something, you know, if you think somebody does something wrong, yeah, when you're in a good mood, it doesn't bother you. But when you are not in a good mood, it bothers you, yeah. And that's where you look for blame. So that's why we go inside. When you see, you do it. Go instantly inside and look at the feeling that you have, yeah. What kind of mood are you in, yeah? Huh? Are you dissatisfied? Do you have dukkha? And then correct the dukkha in here, yeah? Huh? Difficult. We are over-judgmental. And that holds nearly true for, you know, I mean, especially for the Westerners, but also, you know, also for the Asians, yeah? just judgmental, yeah? And this is something very difficult, yeah? I mean, we have to tell us over and over again, you are not right, you are not right, you are not right, you don't know, yeah? Until it starts to stick and until it starts to soften it up. And then you see, there's no problem with it, yeah? It was all, the problem was all in my heart, yeah? Okay, any other questions? Du kannst auch auf Deutsch fragen, wenn du willst, ja? But je ne peux pas le français. I cannot take any French questions.
One thing about pain, pain is so strong, is it okay to overbreathe for a while?
To breathe?
To overbreathe.
Overbreathe. Why would you do it? You want to get rid of the pain. And that's what we don't want to. Yeah? We want to inhale it, not to overbreathe it. Yeah? Try it. Yeah? If you can't take the pain anymore, then stop. Yeah? I mean, raise your vice flag and say, Kilesas, I retreat. Yeah?
For this time.
Yeah? For this time.
I try again.
Yeah? And next time, yeah, well, I fight again. Yeah? But I will fight, you know, 1 second or 10 seconds longer than I fought today. This way you don't lose completely, yeah? You gain, yeah? But there are points where we just have to raise the white flag, yeah? Because we are not yet at that stage, you know, where we can overcome or we can see through it, yeah? So it is okay, yeah, to raise the white flag and say, okay, you're cleverer, yeah? You defeated me, yeah? I admit it. And that is a very important thing, to admit the defeat. Yeah? We don't want to admit the defeat. Yeah? We just want, yeah? I mean, we want to get rid of it, you know, that we were defeated, yeah? Admitting the defeat, yeah, is a very good thing, yeah? And then telling oneself, yeah, next time I go again, yeah, and I do a little bit longer.
Because sometimes only time it's not that always lose like when it's like
But that is the Kilesas who tell you you always lose.
Losing,
yeah.
Always
no. Each time we gain a few seconds more. That is a gain. Yeah. That's not losing. Yeah. But the important thing in this battle is, you know, to admit the defeat. Yeah. To really tell ourselves, okay, the Kilesas got me. Yeah. I lost, yeah? But, you know, at the same moment, you know, make a new determination that the next time you want to, you know, go on a little bit longer, yeah? I mean, it takes patience, yeah? I mean, we can't overcome this within one month or 1 year, you know? I mean, how long have you been that way, yeah? How long have we trained the wrong way? Yeah. How long did we drive our cart in the wrong direction? Yeah. Into the mud. You know. And the deeper it is in the mud, the longer we have to draw it out. Yeah. I mean, if you did some drawing out in the last lives, you know, it is easier. But we don't know. You know. I mean, so we can only be patient. You know, and do it again, and do it again. Yeah? And then we see it, you know, we really don't want to. But this don't want to, you know, comes from the Kilesas. It's not you. The Dhamma wants to go on. Yeah? Yeah? And if they don't want to, say, okay, go and sleep, you know, and leave me alone, damn it. Yeah? It's not you, the Kilesas, who suggest all these things that we don't get any way, yeah? These are the ones, you know, it's not our friend, it's our enemy, so we should make it to us clear, it's our enemy, it's not me, it's not mine, it doesn't belong to me. Well, Buddha told us, you know, these things, it doesn't me, huh? Anatta, it's not me, it's not mine, it doesn't belong to me, whatever I can see, whatever I can experience cannot be me, yeah? So we should use it. Eh? So when they tell you you're a loser, tell you, okay, you are a loser, go to bed, you know, and sleep off. Maybe then you become a winner, yeah? But now I'm sitting on, yeah? We really have to see this, yeah? I mean, what is it, you know, when you look at European history, you know, I mean, there are two really famous... writers, yeah. One was Goethe, yeah, and the other one was Shakespeare, yeah. And they all taught us about this battle in the heart, yeah. And Goethe said, you know, there are two souls inhabiting my chest, yeah. It is the darkness and it's the light, yeah. Or it's the devil and, you know, whatever you call it, yeah. And that is the truth, yeah. Shakespeare said something about, I don't know what he said in this case, but he said something about, in this life, in this role, on this stage, you know, in the next life, on this role, in that role, on that stage, yeah? I mean, but people did not understand. They couldn't grasp the idea. They always think, you know, we are only good, you know, and the evil is the bad thing. No, neither the good nor the evil is ours. We know there is good and we know that there is bad. And they are not us. So we have to fight them. We develop, of course, we develop the good that wants to practice, wants to practice, wants to practice. Okay, develop it. And the loser, you know, let him go to sleep. Well, you know, let him go have fun. Go and have fun. But leave me alone. Be creative. We need to be extremely creative in this kind of battles. I mean, overserious, I mean, will break us. Don't break the neck of, don't break the back of the horse you're riding on. Don't strain it too much. Be creative. The moment we understand there are two souls inhabiting outside. And Lungda Mahabho said the same thing. He said, Avijja the darkness and the light, and the Dhamma. And whoever has control over the five khandhas, because they share one throne, and this one throne, has the power over all the five khandhas, so it can create thoughts, it can create memories, and it can create feelings and so on, and create this body, and it depends on whoever has the control over this throne, and he said most of the time, the kilesa are sitting on and the Dhamma wants to, but the kilesas are pushing it off, So we have to, get more and more the Dhamma onto the throne that it can control. Be creative. Overstretching is breaking us. And that especially for the Germans. And some of the French as well. We are over serious. And that is not good. The Swiss, of course, as well. It's all the all the German-speaking nations, Overserious is not the thing. If we are serious, then we sit down. But then we relax. We don't push. Unless it is really necessary. Unless kilesas don't give us any space. Then we push for a while. And then we let go. Then we relax. And then observe. What is happening. But pushing too much, is breaking the back, and you will only lose, And the kilesas love that, I mean, I've seen so many Westerners, who pushed 4 years, I mean, they're working very hard, I mean, the tires were astonished, I mean, oh, wow, they're really, and after 4 years, took off the ropes and went back, That's not the way, That's why I said be creative, I mean, okay, when we see the kilesas, how they work, okay, how can I deal with them? Let's try it another way, And let's try it another way, Maybe I get around like this, maybe I get around like this, maybe they don't fall for this, Don't just go always with the same kind of weapon, they know it, I mean, they already have their defense shield, So, and then it becomes a play. I mean, once we get really into the practice, it becomes a play. How can I deal with this? How can I deal with this? And then things become interesting and we don't mind, if there's pain and anything else. If it is difficult, It doesn't matter to us because we want, we want to know how can we deal with this situation? How can we deal with that situation? But we are so used that somebody tells us, that's what you do. That's what you do in this situation. And then we go, and nothing happens, and then, I cannot do it. There's nothing that you cannot do. Whatever you want to do, you can do. If you want to fly, you can even fly. There's a way. But that's not what we are trying to do. If you want, you know, to go with your chitta around the world, or even, you know, around, you know, 31 realms of, you know, and see them how they are, you can. Huh? But that is not what we want to do. Yeah? If it happens, you know, it's fine. You know, it's a good lesson, you know, if you go and watch the beings in hell. Yeah? And then remind yourself, you know, I mean, if I'm not making the way out, sooner or later I will be down there, you know, with my companions. We are all friends, yeah. All my friends are down there. Yeah? Verstanden? Capisco? Yeah?
Practicing the Dhamma, we have two main ways of meditation in Anapanasati.
Yeah.
I'm doing meditation on breath.
Yeah.
Whichever I choose one, either Buddha or breath, I should apply in the same way in every posture.
Yes.
Or activity.
Yes.
So, but I don't have any problem in sitting meditation.
Yeah.
But the eating.
Yeah.
Walking meditation.
Yeah.
It's not easy to put my entire attention on how to call it, the breath.
Yeah. That's fine.
So I appreciate it if you could teach me how to meditate in the hardcore, the other posture, apart from sitting meditation.
I mean, there's sitting meditation, there's standing meditation, there's walking meditation. You can use, yeah, you can use Buddha, yeah, you can use the breath, yeah. I mean, but for one, what I say normally, for one session, yeah, how long, you know, you decide, okay, for the next 3 hours, you know, I do walking meditation, then you should stick to the Buddha, or you should stick to the breath. After the session, you can change to something else. You can change to the breath when you have done Buddha before. It doesn't really matter, yeah? But over the time, you will choose your favorite. The longer you do it and the calmer you get, you don't want to change, yeah? From the breath to the Buddha or from the Buddha to the breath. But in the beginning, you want to change because the mind wants to change. It's this boring, you know, always to watch the breath or always to do the Buddha, yeah? So it wants to change, yeah? Okay, as long as you stick to Buddha or the breath, you know, it is fine, yeah? But don't change it within one session, yeah? I mean, if you decide, okay, I sit for 1 hour, then stay with the breath or stay with the Buddha. Yeah? And if it is very difficult in the beginning, use the Buddha with breathing in and the Do with breathing out. Yeah? And then any kind of other, just look, you know, whatever is comfortable when you do walking. Is it more comfortable to observe the breath or is it more comfortable to repeat the Buddha? Yeah? And then today, you see, it is more easy to do the Buddha, and tomorrow it is more easy to do the breath. That's no problem, yeah? But within a session, we should not change, yeah?
Even though, whatever it means.
Yeah, Buddha, yeah?
Even the breath, I should concentrate on.
Yeah, I mean, observe
even
the breath.
It's not easy, I should try.
Yes, yeah? Try it, yeah? And then you feel what you eat. Yeah? Because, I mean, normally we eat only what we think we eat, yeah? But we don't know what we eat, yeah? Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, have one day of sati, you know, when you're in front of your boat, and then watch your mind, you know, he already makes a whole meal plan. And then he goes after this meal plan. He doesn't know what he eats, you know? I mean, he tastes a little bit, you know, and then he's already on the next. Oh, what am I going to eat next? Oh, I want more of this, you know. Why didn't I take more, you know? Oh, no. This is not practice. Practice, you know. It takes a long, long time. Practice is, you know, being with the Buddha or being with the breath while you eat and taste, yeah? And then, you know, when you taste, when you actually have the taste, you know, I mean, differentiate between the 7 different kinds of taste. Salty, you know, greasy, you know, and so on. Bitter and sweet, yeah? and earlier, or whatever the seven, right? I never get them all together. Yeah. But you know, yeah? But it doesn't happen, yeah? So we have to train it every time. So before you go and sit down, you know, yeah? I mean, make yourself clear before. I mean, we have this reflection in the beginning. So, I mean, at the end of the reflection, yeah, when the Ajahn starts to eat, determine, okay, I want to be very aware of what is going on while I'm eating, yeah? So you see the plan already. I mean, you just tasted a little bit on the tongue, and then already the eyes are looking for the next thing to eat, yeah? You're not with the taste anymore. So you really don't know how it tastes, yeah? And how this taste is different from the other taste. Okay? More or less understood, yeah? It's not easy. I mean, it is the most difficult because it's the only thing, it's the only time where we think we can enjoy. Huh? And then we just gulp it in, you know, we just put it in, oh, and our eyes eat, you know, and it's not, yeah, our stomach doesn't eat, and afterwards our stomach feels sick, you know, because we didn't eat the right things, yeah. And then the next thing, you know, once we eat, you know, we have to see how the food, you know, how the body adjusts to the food that has been eaten, yeah. So if we are aware of what we eat, we know exactly what causes the problem, what kind of food causes the problem, yeah. Or not problem, or what kind of food is good for our practice and what kind of food is not good for our practice. I mean, we have to learn, you know, I mean, completely new way of living, yeah? And that's why we are here, huh?
But the thing is, when you start eating and you're thinking, just observe the taste and thing, is that
indulging yourself? No. Why should you indulge it? If you don't think, you don't indulge. No, you know what it tastes like. You don't have to put a label on it. Yeah? I mean, every kind of food, you know, has several tasters, yeah? Yeah? So you try to differentiate, you know, all these tastes, yeah? There's some things, there's some sweet, there's something bitter in it, there's some greasy in it, you know, oily in it, you know, and there's some, yeah, whatever, sour, yeah? Yeah? And then you don't indulge. Indulge is thinking about the food, how delicious it is. That is indulging. Yeah? If you think, oh, this is so delicious, you know, I want more, this is indulging in food, yeah? But, you know, I mean, getting really to the point of, you know, knowing the taste, the real taste of the food, yeah? And then the next bite, you know, from a different kind of food, you know, and then differentiate, yeah? It all comes down to the seven tastes, yeah? But we love it, yeah? And it is difficult, yeah? But every morning after the reflection about the food, yeah? Make a determination, I want to be, and you will see after the third bite, you're gone. Yeah? And then there's only eating. I need more. I don't want to get hungry in the afternoon. Yeah? And all these things, you know, I mean, the mind, you should record your thoughts, you know, when you're eating. Attach a recorder, you know, and then listen later on, you know, or make a reflection after, you know, you're eating, you know, make a reflection of what was going on in the mind, yeah? I mean, it is, you know, a whirlwind of, yeah. Okay, so. Any more?
Like how I understand, we have the Buddha always with us, but the sati is always there, like the awareness or the openness, like it's by the same time somehow, that we don't like have the total focus on the Buddha, so that the awareness is open. Or like how does it like function?
The awareness is aware of the Buddha.
Okay.
The awareness should be always there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? It is aware of the Buddha, just like you're aware of any kind of feeling. Yeah? And this awareness, you know, I mean, that is what we have to foster, yeah? Being aware of whatever happens in the heart. But because we go out on, you know, onto something, latch onto something, the awareness is gone, yeah? the awareness has gone out. Yeah? And the sat, you know, the awareness has not gone out, but the mind has gone out, you know, to this object. Yeah? You cannot foster the awareness except for, you know, with training, you know, training to be aware of the Buddha or being aware of the breath. Yeah? And the longer you can be aware of the breath or Buddha, you know, and the better you know the detail, the deeper the awareness gets. Yeah? That's how we cannot tell ourselves, I want to be aware. It doesn't help. Yeah? That's why we need the object to focus on.
So like the concentration is coming by the sati, like if we have more sati, then the concentration is just going up by itself?
Concentration just means, you know, to be able to concentrate on one object, but sati is something, is aware of the object. Mm-hmm. So concentration and sati is different things. No?
So during meditation, when I train for samadhi, I should practice the concentration or the sati or both?
No, you should put your focus on the Buddha. Yeah? And then you know, that is how you train sati. You know that the Buddha is there, you know that the Buddha is gone, you know that the Buddha is slow, you know that the Buddha is far, you know that the Buddha is deep, you know that the Buddha is shallow. We need, yeah? In the beginning we might need to put labels on it, yeah? When we know, oh, it's fast, yeah? Or it's slow, it's deep, it's shallow, yeah? But in the end we don't need these labels, we just know, yeah? We have to get to the knowingness, yeah? The knowingness is always there, but it's most of the time is a black, dark cloud over this knowingness, yeah? And we have to remove this black, dark cloud, you know, from this knowingness, because it is always there. It is not something that you can. Concentration is just, you know, I mean, putting, just means, you know, we put our attention onto one spot. Yeah? And we don't want to let go of the spot. Okay, I mean, you put your eyebrows so I thought. It's difficult, it's confusing for most of the people. Yeah? Don't just be with the Buddha, just know that the Buddha is fast and slow. Yeah? And don't worry about these things. Yeah?
One more question.
Because that is trying, you know, to figure out something, you know, and this figuring out is not helpful. Yeah? Do it. Yeah? I mean, you should know, yeah? I mean, you have to do something, you know, you can imagine, you know, your sculpture like this, you know, but nothing happens if you don't put the hammer and the chisel on it. Yeah? The sculpture doesn't appear on its own, you know, but in our imagination it is there, yeah? So we have to, you know, we have to put our attention on the Buddha or on the breath, you know, and then, yeah, and then know how the breath is, yeah? And this is something that most of people don't want to do. They don't want to know, you know. I mean, oh, I'm Buddha, 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 Buddha. Yeah. This is not, yeah. Knowing, you know, is the Buddha there? Is it fast? Is it slow? Is it deep? Is it shallow? Or whatever, yeah. Is it at the beginning? Is it in the middle? Is it at the end? Yeah. And it's just the same as we do with the breath, yeah. And the more we get interested in this Buddha, you know, I mean, it automatically, you know, it automatically develops or, you know, stirs up this awareness, yeah? Okay. So anything more? Yeah.
Like, and if we have this pain in the body and it's really strong, then we cannot concentrate on the Buddha any more longer, then we do the pain investigation.
Yeah.
And when, like, the mental feeling went really, really strong, we try to force on the Buddha still, or is there also some kind of time?
When there's a mental feeling, yeah.
When suffering, like in the mind, or like when there's some strong condition coming up.
I mean, the best way is, you know, to repeat your putto, and then the strong condition has to vanish, because mind, you know, I mean, it is quite a bit different, yeah. Feeling, you know, the feelings of the mind, yeah. I mean, are mostly by coming through thoughts and memory. So, I mean, if you're with Buddha, these doesn't arise. But if you're not with the Buddha, then they come. And they creep in. Yeah? And they fool you. Yeah? That's much easier to deal with it, you know, if you have really interested, you know, these things don't come up. However, if some situation comes up, yeah, that comes up very often, yeah, then deal after the meditation with it. Yeah? Deal with it, look into it, yeah. But if you have not done any investigation of bodily feeling, of painful feeling, then it is very difficult, because the mind instantly runs away. Yeah? It goes into assumptions, you know, and that is not what we do. Yeah? If you go into a situation that mind in a situation of a mind feeling, yeah, we have to retract, we have to go back and back and back and back and back. Yeah, I mean, what came before? Okay, now there's the feeling. What came before this feeling? What kind of thought and memory did arise? What kind of thought and memory did arise? What kind of feeling did arise? Yeah, until we find that the stone that caused the avalanche, and that is much more difficult. Yeah, because we instantly get an assumption. Yeah. And then we latch onto this assumption, and it just leads us, you know, into the wide open, yeah? And nothing comes out of it, yeah? This is not how we investigate mind feelings, yeah? We want to go, just like with the investigation of the bodily dukkha, yeah? We want to go to the source of it, yeah? We want to know where it is coming from, yeah? It's not easy, yeah? And the important thing, you know, I mean, as I said so often, the daily reflection, yeah. I mean, it's the key to understanding what is going on in our heart. Yeah? I mean, towards the end of the day, I mean, have a reflection with what kind of thoughts you woke up with, what kind of feelings, you know, came, what kind of memories came up, and so on, and so on, and so on. And just look at it without judging. And that is so difficult. We always want to say, this was good and this was bad. No! Neither is it good nor is it bad. We just want to know what happened, what kind of thought came up, what kind of feeling came up, what kind of memory came up, what caused this feeling to come up, you know, when we go through, you know, we see how these things evolve, yeah. Ne? Like the sugar, you know, the sugar cotton, yeah? Cotton sugar, cotton wool, cotton candy, yeah, the cotton candy. I mean, you have a hot pan, yeah, and you throw some sugar in it, boop, 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 stir it around, and then it becomes so big, yeah. But when you just look at the sugar, there's nothing to it, yeah. And that's the same thing, you know, with our mind feelings, yeah. So we have to go, you know, go back to the sugar, you know, before it is thrown into the pan, you know, and gets moving around, yeah. So, one more question, yeah? Just one. One interesting question. The rest we do the next time.
Okay. I am practicing body contemplation and the supa. After samadhi, I watch post-mortem videos. I observe involuntary body movements like trembling, shaking, and tremors when I sit for samadhi. Initially it was very mild, but lately it is intense. I see results, but I am not able to practice samadhi due to my body movements. Please, Vas.
The body movements come from a disturbed mind, you know? So, I mean, being able to practice samadhi, yeah, I mean, he has to let go out of these thoughts, you know, that he has done in a super practice. He has to completely get rid of these thoughts, concentrate on the Buddha, or concentrate on the breath, and completely be absorbed in the breath. Yeah? Then this trembling doesn't occur. Yeah? This trembling is, you know, thoughts or memories coming up, yeah, that disturb the practice. Yeah? What he can do is, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, I mean, he just stops this, you know, and sees if he gets back into samadhi. Yeah?
It's a double question. Can I ask the second one?
What's the second one?
Because the same person is planning to go and practice in the graveyard for 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
He will get water and food from a nearby temple, mm-hmm. and he sees his kilesas playing games with him,
yeah.
and asks for your advice.
Yeah, if he sees the kilesas playing games with him, yeah, then he should chuck out the kilesas, yeah. I mean, if the moment we see our enemy, I mean, we can deal with the enemy, yeah. If we don't see it, yeah, if we believe, you know, if the kilesas make us believe it is us, then it is difficult to deal with it. And then we have to put them and put them out, yeah. But the moment we can see them, we can say, okay, go away, you know. Go lie into the grave, you know, whatever you want. Yeah? The important thing is sati, yeah. And I wouldn't yet do it, you know, if your sati is not strong. Yeah? I mean, if your samadhi is not good. Yeah? People can get into a frenzy. So I mean, he should be careful, you know, when he's doing it. Yeah, fear can be quite overwhelming. Yeah? So, he should only do it, you know, if his samadhi is good. Yeah? And if he can also, you know, when he is in the graveyard, you know, just close his eyes, you know, rest in samadhi. But what is the fear? You know, when we are in a graveyard, we are afraid of ghosts. Yeah? Or we are afraid of death, or whatever. Yeah? It's an eerie feeling, yeah. Yeah, and then look at the. I mean, I explained everything. I mean, how we investigate these feelings, how we can investigate these feelings. Yeah? I mean, leave them, you know. And what is the problem with this kind of feeling? Yeah? And then you know, the moment we can accept it, we can see what comes below this feeling. Yeah, what kind of thoughts and memories, you know, bring up this feeling. And then we can see, you know, I mean, each layer down, until we come really to self. Right? Maybe it is the fear of death. Yeah, maybe we are afraid of death. Yeah? But it doesn't appear like that. Yeah, it appears like the fear of ghosts, or the fear, yeah, fear of this, or fear of that. Yeah, or fear of night, or fear of the unknown. Yeah. So we have to go down layer by layer by layer. So I mean, only people, you know, with enough sati, you know, with enough samadhi, you know, I would suggest that, you know, especially 6 days. Yeah. Just one night, you know, it's okay. Yeah. But if he wants to stay there for 6 days, he better have good samadhi. Huh? Okay. So, enough for today. Okay.